Monday, Monday, April the 1st. Man, I hate this day.
I hate it so much. Every time you can't trust anything.
And then you forget. I don't know about you, but I forget all the time. And then I'm like reading something and I'm like, what? And then I remember the date and I'm like, come on.
No, exactly, exactly. I saw that Kevin Smith posted something that Dogma was like, they're going to not remake Dogma, but it's finally going to get re-released. But everyone knows it's like, everyone knows it's like in, what's his name's vault. So you never, you know.
Whose vault?
Like Weinstein's fault.
Oh.
Like he owns it. So that's why there's been no like Blu-ray or, you know, 25th edition or any of that stuff. But he posted an ad. But now I'm like, I got to wait till April 2nd to make sure that that is like that's really happening or not.
Wait, so thanks, you don't know?
I don't know because it's April Fool's. You can't, like you said, you can't trust anything on the internet at all.
That is annoying.
Yeah, you know, like it's fine when like certain games do different things. They might change something in game for a little bit just to have a little bit of fun. But some of the stuff I really care about, I'm like, stop toying with my feelings.
I feel like for a holiday that everyone seems to be kind of annoyed at, it sure has stuck around for a long time.
I think it might finally be on its way out. Because before it was less harmful. But now with the information superhighway we have, it is way more destructive than like localized April tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Like I'm hoping we finally just kind of push it out and replace April Fools with anything else.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Or nothing. Just we don't need a day that has anything on it.
Yeah, you know what? We don't need this day. In fact, there are several other things that you could probably celebrate that might be a better move.
I think so, because this set me up. You know, like, can't trust that. You can't trust any movie announcement, casting announcement, sales. It's terrible. It's terrible. Don't like
it. You can't see me right now, but I am shaking my fist at the sky, as I am wont to do.
I can hear it.
Oh, really?
You might want to get that checked. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with your elbow, but you might want to get that checked out again, of course.
Yep.
Take this, sky. You damn you, April Fools.
Well, you know, you can tell out there, I don't know what it's like. I don't even remember what it's like in California because I'm trying so desperately to just block out all my good memories of that place so I don't get too homesick. Spring has finally sprung, John, and I don't know about you, but living in a place that actually has four seasons now, I get it. I get the big deal about spring. Living in California, never saw the big deal. I'm like, oh, it's slightly nicer. It's even nicer than it was in, you know, a month ago. Oh, boo-hoo, spring, who cares? The days are longer. That's all I'm experiencing.
Sure.
But now that I'm up here in the PNW, where it is just the winters are rough, I get it. I've come around.
Well, you've only come around because you got four seasons. Mm-hmm. Come on, like, think about it. If you did live in a place that had snow, you'd probably be less impressed with springtime. But because you do have snow and all the other crazy stuff that happens up there, now you're thankful for a springtime.
Yeah. Well, it's also kind of weird. Like, I was just at the grocery store, and there was a strange energy. You know what I mean? People, it's like powder keg about to go off kind of vibe.
Well, like people buying too much toilet paper?
No, it's not a, uh-oh, here comes another pandemic energy. No, it's more of just like people are, you know, they're pent up. They're cooped up, and now that the sun is shining and the temperature is finally transitioning from heavy jacket weather to just regular sweater weather, there's like a weird, like coquettish energy everywhere. Everyone's
got
just
it.
I'm coming out.
I got to crack out my shorts so the world can see that's my right. knees. Yeah.
I've got pale knees. Check these pale knees out. They're about to get sunburned.
Well, I can tell you that the weather down here has been frightful.
Oh,
it's been super rainy. It was even rainy over the weekend, but then like today, very gorgeous day. Like it nice it over by my house. Normally it's always overcast by here, but this afternoon is blue skies, not a cloud to be seen. I think it's finally the fog bank is finally cresting over here and stuff, but it was really nice day. So I feel like your weather's trickling down here.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to ask you, can you take most of it back?
Do a little swap-a-rooney?
I mean, look, like, we need the rain. I ain't going to turn down the rain at all. But, yeah, throttle back a little bit. I'd give you a little bit back. We don't need, well, maybe we do. Never mind. I don't know how drought states work. But maybe yeah. we need all the rain we can get, even when you're like, we got to be good now, right? Like, I've heard a couple of times they're like, atmospheric river. I'm like, that's good. That's a good sign, right? Like, that means we got a river's worth of water. Is that, what that means?
They got one of those sky rivers. You got one of those sky rivers coming down here?
Yeah,
you
know, I mean,
like, if kayak and fly to work.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like that. Actually, no. You know what? You bring up a good point, and this drives me nuts. I would think of atmospheric river where I would then use a kayak, and the first thing you said was to get to work. Why is it whenever it's something that has to do with a power or something, it's only to improve your way to get to or maybe away from work? And away from work, I understand 100 times more than to work. Why am I trying to get there even faster? Tiny has this problem all the time. We'll be sitting in the car. And, you know, traffic something or someone drives in front of her and she'll sit there and either use the force and pretend to move the car out of the way so she can keep going because the person slows down or whatever. Or it'll be like, she'll be like Magneto's power and doing the same thing with the car. And I'm like, well, first of all, if you got Magneto's power, why are you driving?
That's such a good point. Because I have to tell you, I can relate to Tanya very much right now because I do the exact same thing whenever I'm stuck in traffic. I imagine that I am Magneto, the master of magnetism, and that I am like literally lifting the cars up, not hurting anybody, granted, but just lifting them off the ground so I can drive under them. But it's a good point. If I was Magneto, I'd just fly everywhere.
You could fly everywhere. And if you need to, if you really want to, you could bring your car with you and just fly that thing over to where you're trying to go to. There is nothing that stops Magneto. I mean, we just talked about him in the X-Men 97. That dude was flipping people around, smashing tables, still low orbit atmosphere.
Yep, bringing people up into the atmosphere. They're like, he's our new best friend because, you know, he could kill us with a thought.
Right. If he can do that, I think he can take like a Kia Sorento to the office. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I do love the image of Magneto driving a Kia Sorento, though.
He's like, it's mutant day, and there's no delay, because I'm getting to work in my Kia Sorento. And now that doesn't work. God damn it. Sometimes I was hoping it would work to the old theme song, but never mind. Boo. Yet another failed song.
I've got an old car. It's a 96 Kia Sorento. I don't even know. I don't think Kia made a Sorento in 96, but that's what I got. And I, of course, 97 would have been a better pull, but you know, that's what happens when you hear this live, unadulterated genius by us on our hit comedy podcast.
God, does that get you at all? Like, I don't, whenever I talk about it, I never really be like, oh yeah, we like crack jokes. I always just go from the premise of, no, we talk about pop culture things.
Yeah.
And then that's where I leave it. Cause I don't ever want to be like, yeah, we're trying to be funny. Cause I don't think it's working.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's a fair assessment, I think. I definitely, every time I talk about it, and this is something that I need to get better at, you shouldn't do this, but I get off, I don't really advertise the fact that I have a podcast at work, because I think everybody has a podcast, and
sure,
I fear that it is annoying if you bring it up, but people do ask me. I usually say, yeah, I do one, and then I don't follow up. I'm just like, nope, I'm not going to say it anymore. Alone. Yep. And they say, well, what is it called? And I'm like, okay. It's called Pop Saga. It's very bad, but you can download it here. I always couch it in the fact that I'm like, it's real bad, though, so you don't have to listen. In fact, I recommend you don't. But anyway, it's me and one of my best friends talking about, just talking about pop culture stuff. Anyway, but it's very bad. Don't waste your time.
Don't worry, you're not alone. I do something very similar. You know, like, first thing people, I talk about it more openly now than I did before, because at this point I'm like, well, whatever. But then people, I'm like, what it is? They're like, look, it's not very good. So I think I elevate us a little bit. So I normally go, it's not very good. Forrest is the funny one. And then the best part about the whole show is the theme song.
Well, I mean, geez, that is, I don't think that's true necessarily, but
what, except about the last theme part. Song? How dare
no,
you?
No, the last part, no, I fully I'll agree. I'll
stab you with this tiny screwdriver, fidget screwdriver.
What? You have a fidget screwdriver?
Well, it's just a screwdriver I fidget with.
Oh, okay. I thought that this was like a real piece of kit.
Hey, I mean, it is real. It is a little screwdriver. It's just, it just requires manual fidgeting versus like a ball bearing and like a novelty picture of Bart Simpson on it or something.
I think we might need to cut this out, because I think we may have stumbled upon our ticket to early retirement. Because I think, like, if you had a screwdriver that was attached to just like a screw, you could just continually be screwing in and unscrewing, I feel like that would be a very effective fidget device. Now, granted, I have to figure out what kind of plastic tube this thing exists in and how that exactly works, but that's the thing, is I'm an idea man, John.
I could tell. I could hear it. And, you know, yeah, maybe I'll cut this out. We'll see. We got to keep going a little bit, you know. I just got to find something in here.
Sure.
You know, yeah, but you know, I mean, I don't think anyone is, you know, I mean, I think it's fine.
We can't be giving away these genius ideas for free. We won't have any left when we eventually open Two Did Consulting. We never did it, but we'll tell you how.
You know, it'd be really good if you painted it orange. Painted what? Orange. The whole thing.
Guys, this is a hot dog. I came to give advice about this hot dog I'm creating. Yeah, paint it orange.
Paint a slap it orange. You know what no one's ever seen? An orange Frankfurter.
That's right. And you know what the world is asking for? An orange Frankfurter. You just got to get out of here. That'll be $2 million. Next time.
Yeah, just put that money in my hand.
I imagine us, this like our consulting business, Two Did Consulting, to just be like a storefront, like a Boost, like an old Boost Mobile storefront. And in the back is just a folding desk with you and me, maybe like a hastily printed banner hanging below it. And then there's one of those deli counter number things.
People just pull. Yeah. And we just have people just waiting around as we're sitting at this table that people can see us.
Yep. And we have like a clock. Everyone gets a minute and a half for us to pitch how to fix their idea. And then it's next.
Get out of here. We solved your problem. Give us our money.
That's right. Maybe we don't charge $2 million. Maybe we charge like something like 200, but we're going for more of a volume proposition than sort of like a high cost per unit proposition.
No, yeah, maybe. Now you got me kind of thinking about this.
I know of a Boost Mobile store that just closed down. Sure, they had a problem with people driving their car into it on purpose over and over and over again, and they couldn't figure out why. But still, the rent is dirt cheap, and you know, who needs windows when you got all that plywood?
Of course. That way, it keeps out that pesky sunlight.
That pesky sunlight. Oh, man. You know, living up here, I have encountered something that I didn't really encounter all that much in the previous places that I used to live.
Lack of sunlight?
Well, I mean, yes. Definitely sad. Seasonal affective disorder is real, and it is sometimes hard to dig your way out of. But no, there are so many closed businesses up here, and like real, just like 2x4, not 2x4s, plywood over the windows, spray paint on the outside, a fence around it, and like nobody's doing anything to it. And there is a 7-Eleven that's like this. And I'm just wondering, like, you couldn't make the 7-Eleven work?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, it's bad times when the 7-Eleven is closed.
Right? I don't, like, and it looks like the sign looks fairly new. I don't know. What is this with the 7-Eleven? Who owns it? Who is the franchise owner of the 7-Eleven? And they're just like, you know what? You may not realize this, but it actually costs more to open it. I just keep it closed. I collect the insurance checks. Bingo, bango, Bob's your uncle and Robert's your father's brother.
Yeah. Ugh.
I don't know.
I mean, you're not the only one. Like, I can't even go downtown now without seeing, like, a closed anything. They closed a Doc Martens.
Martens in San Francisco? Yeah. Now that is a true shocker.
Closed. The only thing that has kind of withstood the test of time downtown is the Urban Outfitters.
Interesting. And that, you would think that would be the first to close. But I guess when you have like a city filled with more people who have more money than sense, then Urban Outfitters is the first place you go, because you're like, yeah, I want to pay $500 for a record player that is that is just okay. But it comes in a shiny suitcase, mid-century modern.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I want a Polaroid camera.
Yes, I also want to walk into a store that has already pre-broken front windows. So I think you might be up. Yeah, so every time I go there, the windows always look like they're smashed. And they were like that when the shop opened.
So it's either they were,
I'm hoping so. Either that or they're just like, it's 1999. We're not changing these windows at all. They broke them once, they just stay broke. But they're like all the little like fractured glass or something like kind of in between it, like these little smart designs. And I'm just like, this doesn't really instill confidence in me wanting to buy anything from your store. What is an Urban Outfitter anyway?
What exactly? Who are you outfitting, sir or madam?
Why can't you just be an outfitter? Why has it got to be urban?
Yeah.
Where's my rural outfitter? I don't know what that is. I guess that's a Home Depot, though. Maybe
I believe that's an Oshkosh Bagosh store.
Yeah, you might be right. A Harbor Freight, even. I'm sure some people get close.
Harbor Freight. What? Isn't that like a tool shop?
It is, but I'm sure people are going there buying overalls and stuff.
You know what? I've never been in there, so I can't say either way.
Me neither.
Interesting though.
I've seen it on the outside and been like, yeah, that's a store not for John. Not because tools, but just because I don't know what happens in there.
Do you remember the commercials for Cool Tools?
No. Remind me. The name sounds familiar, but
yeah, it was in the 90s, and there was a series of toys that were just small tools, and the theme song went, these tools are real, cool tools, the look and the feel, cool tools, cool, cool tools, cool tools. And the whole concept was, yeah, it's actually a hammer.
You're actually going to do some work.
Yep. Get ready for a job. Cool tools. The time for imagination is over. Cool tools. Build me a house. Cool tools. Your kid, you don't have to pay your kids. Cool tools. Get that bathroom remodel you always wanted. Cool tools. Pennies on the dollar. Free labor.
Your kid not so bright to go on to a normal high school? Cool tools. There's vocational schools for him or them.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. People should be, we should destigmatize the trade, the trades, you know?
No, I almost did it.
Yeah. There is nothing wrong. And in fact, it's very admirable. I wish to God that they had still had the automotive repair class when I went to high school, and that it existed and that I had taken it, because I would love to know that stuff. I would love to know basic stuff about how to repair my car. And to be honest, like, that could be a pretty lucrative career if you get started early. Where I went to school, they just didn't offer it. It was wood shop. I took that.
At least you had wood shop. I only had wood shop in middle school. And really? Then after, yeah. Well, remember my high school I went to real small, and we didn't have a sports team.
It was a performing arts high school.
Performing art high school. But sometimes you just need to learn a life skill that isn't like, yes and.
Yeah. You know? Cause someone's like, Tanya's like, hey, John, can you fix the sink? And you're like, you start miming taking out a wrench, and she's like, oh no.
As I'm sitting there, they're like, why are you doing it that way? It's like, I'm fixing the sink.
Yep. It's like, John, did you fix this? This is 2 hours later. John, did you fix the sink? Yes, and. And then cut to Tanya being blasted in the face by a bunch of water.
Yeah, no, not useful at all. Yeah, that's not true, but I would have loved to learn how to manage and balance a checkbook. I would have, like, there are a lot of life skills that I think I would have loved to pick up, like, in high school, and I feel like that's the perfect time to start teaching them.
Oh yeah,
like there's
a captive audience.
Exactly, but also I'm like, how many different ways am I going to learn about the Salem witch trial? Because I've learned about it in three different versions of, you know, my grades, and there's really been not much more information given to me each time I learn about it.
Hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? You were really hoping is that they would hand you a pack of cool tools. Like, here you go. Guess what? They may not look like much, but these tools are real. The
cool
look
tools.
And the feel. That's right.
Deluxe driver set, cool tools. Well, I know what I'm gonna get you, because you remember the theme song, which means it is ingrained in your brain. I'm gonna get you some classic tool cools for your birthday.
Great! I can't wait to have this power drill that doesn't work. Cool tools. We lied about them being real cool tools.
I'm gonna get you the ones I think that are practical. Like, they have one that has a little clamp, one that has a little hammer. Oh, and then one that's a little saw that I'm sure if you sharpened it.
Oh, shit. Did we give a kid a saw? Cool tools. Call my lawyer. Cool tools. What do you mean the shipment's already gone? Get it back.
Recall.
Recall that saw. Cool tools. Kids are losing limbs. Cool tools. We made a big mistake. Cool tools. That's why you don't hear about cool tools anymore.
Yeah, that's a shame. I think that's kind of nice. I don't like that. But no, I almost did the vocational thing. I was just like, look, I looked at myself and was like, am I built for actual high school? And the resounding answer I gave myself was like, probably not.
Yeah.
And so then I was just like, well, I'm going to just go do this. And I got in, and I was going to learn woodworking and all that stuff, because that's, you know, used to sit and watch New Yankee Workshop on KQED,
mm-hmm.
You know, and all that stuff in this old house. So I was like, I'm well-versed at this fixing stuff. I like that. And then I was like, nah, I'm going to go to performing art high school instead. Learn yeah. prose and all that other stuff. And yes, and.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, imagine if you had done both. You could be the next Bob Vila.
Oh, my God. Do you think I could pull off plaid like he can?
Yeah, absolutely I do.
Awesome. Thank you. I've never put it on because I didn't want it to seem like the V-hold was messing on the TV.
What? Just we like control the horizontal and the vertical.
Exactly.
I was thinking we had just reviewed X-Men 97, and I think X-Men 97 does a really good job of transporting you back to those classic X-Men cartoons while also doing it in a modern way.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another cartoon that you can think of that you would love to see this treatment done to?
Yeah. Like maybe like Street Sharks or something, or SWAT Cats. That's
nobody's asking for the Street Sharks to come back. Oh, man, I can't wait till the Street Sharks come back. Imagine what they'll do. What is it they did in the first place? I don't know.
They swam through the street.
Yeah, okay.
Mutant dude or something.
I don't know. This sounds very sus.
Well, I mean, okay. If you're going to... I throw the question back at you... expertly, which one are we redoing like this? There actually are a couple that I think I'd like to explore because they were tonally that way, but they never got the bright of day. Like for me, Inhumanoids.
Because Inhumanoids.
Because Inhumanoid was one of those cartoons that like they did a bunch of cartoons, but it along the same block actually is like X-Men Children Atom, now that we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they did like, here's one... here's like one episode. We'll see if it sticks. If it sticks, we'll make more. If it doesn't, we don't. And they did that with Inhumanoids, like Bigfoot. Remember when Monster Truck was even like bigger than it is? Like,
absolutely. I wanted a Bigfoot. Everyone wanted a Bigfoot. Bigfoot was like a child's hero, and all it was a big truck.
Big truck, but you know, I know it did all right, I think. Back then. Anyway, let's not wonder where. Anyway, let's not go down that rabbit hole. But like, so then they did Inhumanoids, and it was just like about like this virus and this like underground like monsters kind of coming up, and they had some real kind of like darker, deeper tones that I think could really benefit from like this X-Men 97-fication of it, that I think it would actually benefit, because I kind of, and I don't know if this is a fool's errand for us, but I kind of want to go through and watch the original X-Men series, even though it was so painful. Give it a try, because I have to tell you, this 97 show has been living rent-free in my head since it's been out.
So you're thinking to yourself, there must be a kernel of what this has become in
exactly.
that show that I struggle to sit through.
Exactly. Like there has to be something that I'm like, oh, this was good. It just was hampered by X, right? Like maybe the animation's not as good, or, you know, maybe they were censored a little too much, because obviously, look, X-Men 97's got blood in it. They're definitely doing some stuff, some adult themes that you weren't getting on like Fox. So like, but there has to be kernels of that, because, you know, the showrunner, who now I'm like, why did you let them go?
You still don't know a clear answer to that question, but I think, I don't know. I don't know if there's any good news there, but I'm pretty sure they were involved with season 2, and it was just, that was already greenlit before this came out. And they just greenlit series 3 of X-Men 97. So at least we know that that's coming.
I mean, that's great to hear, but I'm just kind of like, this show is done a lot. And I'm like, I mean, they made Cyclops cool. That third episode was fire. Just straight fire. I loved how it was animated.
Definitely awoken something in somebody with that Goblin Queen.
Oh, well, yeah, come on. It's Goblin Queen. Anyone who knows Goblin Queen knows Goblin Queen.
Yep. If you know, you know.
You know. And if you don't, get on it. Yeah. Or don't. Yeah. You do you. No pressure there. But like, yeah. So anyway, Inhumanoids for me. What would you pick?
First off, I just have to say that Inhumanoids was an inspired choice. They structured it like a TV show of the time, in which there was a movie that they made that they actually split into five pieces and then aired them separately. So it starts off with five episodes, all entitled The Evil That Lies Within. And then that went on for five parts. I cannot imagine being a kid tuning into a new cartoon and then there's a five-parter to kick it off.
Oh, well, that's not true. Because, like, that's how the old, like, G.I. Joe cartoons, you know, like, before they kind of did into single episodes, they would do arcs where it'd be, like, four or six. And the difference between Inhumanoids and, like, a lot of the other ones, though, those weren't full half-an-hour cartoons. They were, like, 15 minutes maybe max. Like, I swear there is a shit ton of commercials that were played in between an Inhumanoids cartoon. But I just remember, like, the theming in it was just kind of like, even as a kid, I was like, this feels kind of adult in a weird way. And so I'm like, well, if you're going to kind of take that and put that X-Men-ification, that's what I'd do anyway.
Yeah, it says the Inhumanoids series did not begin as a conventional 22-minute cartoon, but rather as a slate of 6 to 7 minute shorts that aired as a part of the collective Super Sunday half an hour block alongside other Marvel Sunbow series, Gem and the Holograms, Bigfoot and the Muscle Machines, and Robotics.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. It looks like Robotics is a show about Truckosaurus.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, kind of. Like, if I remember, it was like robot-esque vehicles. But they, I mean, not like the cool robots we got to grow up with as well. Like, the robots that, like, we, like, America would come up with. Like, sure. you know what I mean? You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something where you're like, oh, that is definitely an American design. Nothing knocking it, but that is American. No one, that is all practical, no frills. And then you look at, like, a Gundam and you go, oh, okay.
Exactly. So if you're wondering what we're talking about, just take a look at Robot Jocks and then compare that to Gundam. And then you've got yourself the difference.
There's a big difference, definitely.
There is a little bit of a big difference, but this Robotics thing is another, it is next level version of that, because this robot here looks like a real Dorcas. And I if you haven't, if you're not looking at it right now, I'm just going to send you a picture. Sorry. I don't mean to be laughing at this thing that I'm sure a lot of people spent a lot of time making, but woof boy, it's like somebody was just described to Truckosaurus. They never seen him before.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. What if he had a bunch what if he had like a Dewey Decimal System sort of file drawers in the front? And then, you know what? His mouth is looking not scary enough. Could you just give him two buck teeth in the front there?
And then let's split two of them teeths. Just in case. Yeah, it's funny. So you're like Robotics and you sent me that and I'm like, oh, it was the Robotics Milton Bradley, like Technic style toy line.
Yeah.
So it was like this modular building system. And
I see. That explains a hell of a lot.
Yeah. Here, I'll send you a thing so you can see it that way. We got time, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool.
Show me what you got.
Cool. Oh, let me see so you can see this. So then you'll be like, wow, this is a lot cooler
than okay.
The actual cartoon.
That's pretty cool. Interesting. So it's kind of like, what are those called? Kinects?
Technics.
Technics, there you go.
Yeah, it's straight up. But they had like the dog. A bunch of different versions, but the main one I remember. Yeah, so that's kind of where that was.
But the head is very similar to what we get in that in the DVD cover of Robotics.
Yeah, no, if I sent you the Argus, I think that probably is. Here, hold on. Now that I'm on the thing, I'll show you. You're going to be like, oh, I wish it was this instead. It's this thing. Looks way cooler.
I have to say, though, if I had been aware of this, if I had been aware of this when I was coming up, I really would have. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right? That is way cooler. It is so, like, I wish the art style looked like that. Like, that would be baller than this weird fake Jason the World War. Warriors
knockoff. Yeah, I would have liked this, though, I think, quite a bit. It has sort of like a BattleTech vibe. I have like the first episode somebody ripped on YouTube here, just kind of going in the background. Okay, never mind. Never mind. I don't know if I would have liked it. But, you know, my choice would be I would love for them to bring back and do an updated version of Robotech, as if that wasn't just the, like, you know, the recut together version of Macross that we got in the US. I would love to see like them trying to make Robotech a different show, and, you know, delving into its own unique parts of its fiction. I'd love to see an update of that. That would be really cool.
All right, I got a hard question to ask you, because this will tell a lot. Do we get to maintain the F-14s?
Yeah.
Or F-6? Okay, because if you would, because I it's funny. I'm looking around in my office like there's someone in here, like from like Harmony Gold.
There might be. It might be Harmony and Gold.
Yeah, maybe. Leave me alone. I got enough Macross stuff in here. Leave me alone. I got a little Lindman May. Lisa Hayes, I got the SDF one. Leave me alone. I got enough in here, Harmony Gold. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
No. They kind of lose me with that Macross Plus stuff. It looks too, not like regular Robotech. So I don't want it.
That's the thing about that jet, though. There have been few jets that are as iconic looking as that. I mean, the wings that fold back. Are you kidding me? That's cool as hell.
Yeah, it's too cool. It's absolutely too cool. Do you want to see? Of course. Hold on. Someone inspired me to do this, so I'm gonna send you a wallpaper I made for my computer. It fluctuates, but it's important. It's on the subject matter.
Okay, this is good. This is cool as hell. It's very good that this is just the cold open, because can you imagine listening to visual content?
Hey, listen, this isn't it cool? Yeah, it's like a box or something, don't worry. But like, yeah, no, this, I saw someone did it with another thing, and I was just like, I'm gonna take Skull Leader, I'm gonna put it in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. So that's it. It's not very good. Like, don't look it up close. It's bad. But like,
I don't even know. I can look at him far away. I can tell. I'll tell you it's bad.
Oh, shit.
The bit depth on those two pictures. I mean, there's got to be a little bit closer.
I wouldn't know the difference. I wouldn't know how to do that. There's no bit depth folder filter for me on Photoshop. You see how bad I do these ads for our show? Shit. I'm like... Again, the X-Men 97 one. I'm mad at myself because I'm like, I wish I knew how to draw so I could have just drew some visors on Forrest's face. Because
I think that is part of the charm. I have to say, on the plus side, your crop of this Veritech fighter is top notch, though. This is some good cropping right here.
Thank you. At least I did something. Did something remotely right.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like there is a crisp and clean Macross fighter jet flying over an 8-bit San Francisco bridge from Sega CD.
So at first I was like, well, so originally what I was going to do is like maybe apply something to make it look like it was back in the day. Right, because also the other thing is I didn't want to use a higher res picture of San Francisco now because I don't like the selfish tower.
Yeah, sure.
So I wanted something old, so that I was like, I'm going to try to do that, and then I just gave up when I did this. And I was like, okay, good enough. Like, good enough for me. I only see it for 10 minutes before it rotates to a different wallpaper, so I'm good. But
oh, you have a look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants. You got yourself a rotating wallpaper. You know, speaking of Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yeah.
John, what are you rocking graphics card wise?
Oh, a 3080 Ti.
Ooh, that sounds fast.
It it does all right. But I can finally, I'm starting to feel the my processors age a little bit. Like,
oh, you're getting a little bit of that, you're bottlenecking a little bit?
Yeah, you know, when you fire up the game, like, you're like, like me, who's been procrastinating, trying to play Dragon Dogma 2 for like 2 weeks. And every time I fire it up, I'm like, wow, this takes a while to load. And then it takes a while to fire up. And then this takes
then
a while.
Next.
Yeah, no, I got to play something that's a little faster than this.
Oh, no.
No, it's just, like, I'm both fascinated and completely overwhelmed by that game. And I've gotten exactly maybe 20 minutes into it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it.
I'm trying. What vocation you pick?
I just, I picked just a bog standard sword and board warrior.
Yeah, see. I knew you would. I didn't even, yeah, it's just kind of your play. It's what you do.
Yeah, okay, well, that's fair.
You know.
I just like so I played a lot of the first Dragon's Dogma, and that is something that I kind of came to with that one as well, where I'm like, wow, playing a mage is very hard, and playing anything, because there's no lock-on, playing ranged characters is pretty difficult. So I was just like, okay, you know what's fun? Is hacking at things, chopping their limbs off, and then crawling all over their bodies like you're some kind of pest. And then just stabbing them every which way you possibly can. That's where the fun is in this show. I also, or this game. I also love picking smaller enemies up and then just throwing them off a cliff.
That does seem that seems like an inspired bit of game design that I like. I picked the archer, and you're right. First, the game screamed at me like, "Best played with a controller." I was like, "I'm on PC.
Yeah,
better play with a controller." So it's like, okay. Then it was like, hey, we know you got a widescreen monitor. Even some people call them ultra wide.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I do. Well, guess what? We're not going to put ourselves in that format when we start. We're going to make it the smallest window possible. I'm like, ooh. Okay. Okay. So then I got to click on it and open that up and get it there. And then all of a sudden it's just like, are you sure you want to save these settings? It's like, yeah. Yeah. I want to save these settings. Okay. Now let me get in there. And then trying to build a character. So yesterday, I deleted my old save. Mm-hmm. And because I was just like, because I built a character. I was like, ooh, this character looks not great. And it's early enough. I figure I can restart. So I was like, well, let me build my pawn. And then let me build my character. I did that. And I was so tired.
it really took it out of me.
It really did. I'm sort of like, all right, well, I made Xena. This is cool.
Did you make Lucy Lawless?
Yeah. I tried. I followed a thing online and made some tweaks.
Oh, whoa. So they have like someone has a guide where they tell you where to put the sliders in order to make a certain face. That's brilliant.
Yeah, cuz I was just like, cuz at this point I'm like, if I sit here and try to make one, I'll probably be unemployed because I'd be spending just years just trying to make the perfect
character. I gotta call in. I got Lucy Lawless just ain't looking right.
It's more looking like Callisto. I gotta fix it. It's not I'll be tomorrow, maybe once I figure out how
I'm
to make
also
that.
Sick.
I think something. Okay. All right. Yeah, so I made that, and then I made my pawn and stuff, and then I was just like, oh, okay, well, I did that. I'll get back to it eventually. I don't know if I'll ever go back to that game again.
Well, you really should. I think they are really blazing their own trail in terms of what sort of modern conveniences they choose to ignore, and I really admire that from a certain standpoint. And the lack of like good fast travel just means you're kind of exploring around, and that's the fun part about open world games like that. And so, yeah, no, I'm really liking it so far. It is difficult, and so I found myself taking a lot of breaks. But yeah, you know what? The thing is, I bought it on the PS5, so it's like I kind of have to make an appointment to do it, to play it, and so maybe that's part of it. But I have to say, I am very disappointed because they did not include any cool features for the PS5 controller, and that was really the only reason I bought it on PS5. Is because I love that controller. I love the force feedback triggers. Like, the things that certain games do with that controller is just really next level. I really, really love it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think that the shining jewel of the PS5 controller use is Spider-Man.
Yep, I feel like Spider-Man they do it very well. 2.
Specifically 2, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you feel those webs and, like, the tension and everything. It is so well done on Spider-Man. It's, like, that spoiled me for every other game, because now I'm playing Dragon's Dogma 2, and they don't do diddly shit. And it really upset me, because, I'm an Xbox fan. I could have bought it on Xbox, could have bought it on PC, but I know. I have access to all these different versions. Let's get the one that's going to have the best controller. And they didn't do anything. They tricked me.
They got your money. Mm-hmm. They got your money.
Yeah, they sure do.
Well, they got mine too. What are you going to do?
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? Nothing.
Mm. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but around this time of year, up here, this didn't happen to me in California, but I have the worst allergies today. So sorry, I just sniffled a little bit I don't know if we can cut that out, but I sniffled a little bit into the mic. I feel bad for people listening because that's a bad ear experience, but I can't help myself because the pollen is out in force and I'm just like leaking from every orifice. Pardon me for saying so.
Yeah, you might want to get some of them checked.
Some of the orifices? Okay.
Yeah, like the nose makes sense. Eyes getting a little watery, maybe. Anything else? Do you have a practitioner, like a general practitioner you like to see? Go see them. Just
go get that. Yeah, check. Well, here's the deal, though, is I've been just like, I found a cachet on eBay of original Olestra chips, and I have just been downing those just nonstop. And every time I go to the bathroom, it's like somebody dumped a case of Orange Fanta. Don't you wanna no. Oh my god. Oh god. Oh god. Oh god.
Okay. Oh man, that's a picture. That's gonna live. I think you just replaced X-Men 97. Congrats.
You're welcome. Yeah, I've done it. Anyway, wow, this has been a great cold open, but why don't you say we get into the actual episode?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll find something in there.
Okay, great.
All right, well, you know how we go. Tell me when to go.
I wait for that every time. All right, let's start recording at 48:55. Let's go. Pop soda. You know we gotta keep it hype all day and night like this. Pop soda. Showing love when we can. Shout out to the super fans, uh-huh. Pop soda. You don't really wanna miss Pop Soccer. Stay lit. Pop soda. So if you ready, we ride and take it back to the 90s. From movies to the video games, just a couple of nerds keep it so entertaining. Hey, Pop Saga. Hello, pals, and welcome to what is sure to be our most in-depth and comprehensive breakdown episode ever. Today, we're taking a trip to a fictional version of Japan's history, one filled with intrigue, romance, and visceral violence. Join us as we break down the episodes, rank our favorite characters, and make the final call on if this Hulu adaptation lives up to the hype, or would you be better off checking out the 1980s miniseries of the same name. I'm Forrest, and I'm joined as always by John. And John, I've got just one question for you to kick things off.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying Shogun so far?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, that's about all the time we're going to have for this week. Anyway, let's roll into the outro. First off, I got to thank Burton M6 for all the incredible music on our show. And you can find a link to his Fiverr page in our show notes. There's a link to our socials as well in our show notes. You can join our Discord and get in touch with us all sorts of fun ways. But before we say goodbye, we'd like to say rather that wherever you are out there, however you choose to listen to us, we hope that you're feeling happy and healthy. And if you're not, that's okay too. But I'm going to throw it over to John for the final word.
Remember, folks. Marty, I told you this would happen. I told you all the way back in episode 117. You've done it again.
Oh, no.
The future will never be the same.
Oh, God.
Hey, thank you for tuning in to all my super fans. Hope you coming back again. Got a shout out to Fresca. I know you riding with me as we pull up in the Hyundai Daily City. You want the hype? I gotcha. Gotta keep it locked right here on Pop Saga. Woo! Pop Saga, let's go.